out of the box this afternoon. We welcome in from WBZ in Boston, Michael Hurley. Michael, welcome. What do you think of this Tangway nonsense?
Well, I'm sitting out here. You know, I'm in quite a good mood. It's a Friday. I played some golf, just playing some badminton in the backyard with my daughter. And I have the fire pit going, which I thought was pretty hot. And then I hear Gary Tangway's dulcet tones in my ears bringing the heat. And I wasn't ready for that. How am I supposed to follow that?
It came out of nowhere, you know. Usually Gary, with us at least, he's just playing it low key. But maybe it's he misses being on the radio every day when he can get people fired up like that.
Yeah, and I know Gary well. Gary's great. He's excellent to me. One time we hosted a show together, and I apologized that he had a plummet with the amateurs, and he was very good about it. But that voice he had there was that's like fifth gear Tangway. He was you know, going 88 on the highway, just kicked it up, and it was hitting 100. So, you know, you can't do anything but respect it at that point. I mean, it's a unique level that most of us can't even think of.
Well, we're a long way from anybody pulling the plug and firing anybody as far as the Patriots go, at least for this season. We're still in the early part of things. But let's talk about that before we get to the Red Sox and tonight. Look, it's not Mac Jones' fault if things are going wrong. This team could easily be 4-2 right now.
Yeah, it's been, I would say, a huge disappointment based on all the offseason improvements, all everything. We weren't expecting Super Bowl, but we were expecting 10-11 wins, a return to respectability after last year. And what you're seeing is almost worse than last year, because last year, you know, was a similar start and then kind of fell apart and fizzled in November and December. This one is right off the bat just an unimpressive team, and it's things you're not used to seeing. It's, you know, the Patriots can't get 11 guys on defense. The Patriots aren't converting, you know, third and threes, aren't converting third and fours. It's like they're the opponent. That's what I wrote after last week's game. It's like the roles have reversed. They are now the teams that used to come into Gillette and make all of these mistakes. That's what they are now, and it's really, I don't know, there's still a little bit of shock to it, even though it's been going on for more than a year.
Are there more problems with coach Bill Belichick or general manager Bill Belichick?
I mean, realistically, probably general manager, just because the draft has not been refilling their talent pool the way it should have been. And then you add in, you know, for whatever reason, he didn't want Tom Brady anymore, which would be fine if there was a plan. There was no plan. They signed Cam Newton at the 4th of July last year. And then, you know, it's like he got tired of not having an all-pro player to hate and was just like, oh, let's freeze out Stephon Gilmore for no reason at all. After, basically, we can assume when they gave him the $5 million last year that it was agreed upon that they would rework the 2021 deal when it came to, and they never did that. And Stephon Gilmore just basically said, well, why would I go to work if you already took $5 million out of my pay this year? And so now he's gone, and he would have made a difference last week. I compare last week to Super Bowl 52, where you needed Malcolm Butler not to be an all-pro, not to have six interceptions, but just to make one tackle, just to force one more punt, and it probably makes all the difference. I think Stephon Gilmore is good enough last week, if he hadn't been frozen out and hadn't been, you know, decided to sit out for the first 6 weeks of the season, is good enough to not give up 445 yards passing and force one more punt and change the whole shape of that game. So I think the roster construction is certainly not helping the team when it comes to winning on Sundays.
So is it too much of a stretch to say this might be a must win against the Jets?
Oh, it is. I mean, it's a must. I mean, I don't know what they're playing for at this point. I mean, if you really want to get creative, you could figure out a way they could still win 10 games, but I don't see that happening. But it's a must win for the sake of preventing the sky from falling in Foxborough, because you can put up with a certain level of things, but not a loss to the Jets. And it almost happened last year. Nick Folk hit, I believe it was a 50-yard game winner in New York or New Jersey to win that one. And then in Week 17, the Patriots rolled over them with Cam Newton and the bad Patriots last year. So you can't, after the way that the Patriots absolutely wiped the floor with them a month ago, I think to avoid just real, I mean, Belichick hasn't been in the best of moods, understandably so, with the way the team has played. I would not be excited for next week and all the days that follow if they do lose to the Jets.
We're talking with Michael Hurley here on Downtown. Let's shift to the Red Sox Game 6 ALCS tonight in Houston. Who do Red Sox fans want to see less? Laz Diaz or Martin Perez?
That's a great question. It was funny. I was listening on the radio. I was trying to get to Fenway yesterday. I don't know if you know this about the city of Boston, but we don't actually hold, we can't handle cars on the road. So I had trouble getting in. So I was listening on the radio, and they were saying, oh, Yordan Alvarez, they've actually kept him in check pretty well. And then we know what happened after that. So definitely Laz Diaz, just because umpires are umpires. But yeah, I think on the plus side, though, people, Red Sox fans will be happy to see. You'd have to say it's the Astros starter tonight. He overcame his incredible injury that forced him out of game two, which we all thought maybe he was a goner. But he's persevering, and I think that's good news for the Red Sox based on how he looked on Saturday afternoon.
And you know, I look at this series, and it's been so strange. Game one was a toss-up, some missed opportunities, back-to-back Red Sox blowouts, back-to-back Astros blowouts. I have no idea what will happen tonight, but with Eovaldi on the mound, I'm not going to be shocked if they come out and get an impressive win, the bats come back, and they send this to a Game 7, and then who knows?
Yeah, I'm big-time out on the prediction game. After they won Game 3, I thought the Red Sox were on their way to rolling, and even, you know, with the two-run home run in the first inning of Game 4, I'm like, all right, the wheels are in motion, and then they have scored one run since then. So certainly difficult to predict, but you have to like their chances tonight, just with the pitching matchup. That being said, they got to figure out how to score early, because being down on the road in a place like Houston, we know it can get crazy down there, seems like a challenge. So I would say jumping on the guy just like they did on Saturday. I'm sure he'll have a different approach. I'm sure they'll be ready for that different approach. But top of the first, if you can get a couple on and get Eovaldi a lead, you should be in good position. But again, given the way things have worked out this series, I'm kind of predicting both pitchers are out by the first. We have 97 pitching changes, and the final score is 20-19.
And I see people say, oh, the Cora magic, he's lost it in the last two games. I'm thinking, this is a team that everybody thought would struggle to win much more than 80 games. They're two wins away from the World Series. I don't know that any magic was lost.
I get it, but I hated keeping Chris Sale in that game. I thought, I mean, I guess we had different thoughts, Alex Cora and I, going in. But to me, if you could get three innings and one run allowed out of Sale, then it was a win for that game plan. And then they ended up getting five. And to me, at that point, trying to get more out of him, I understand the bullpen's taxed and isn't super reliable, but you were kind of, I mean, you got a miracle gift of two extra innings out of Chris Sale. It seemed like going for six was pushing it, and it indeed ended up being the case. So I understand that. That's a big questionable spot. I think it's almost like Alex Cora sees Chris Sale as the Chris Sale from 3 years ago.
Right.
And he's just not right now. And we heard that in game one. Why are you going with Chris Sale? Well, because he's Chris Sale. It's like, well, is he? He struggled to get through five innings against Baltimore in the regular season. So he's not quite the same guy. So I understand. I think that's a big second guess for sure. Whether magic is gone, I don't know. Do you believe in magic, I guess, is the question.
So let me see if I understand this tonight for those who don't want to watch the Red Sox game. You can see the Bruins game tonight, but it's kind of like trying to see a total eclipse of the sun. Well, how many contraptions do you have to go through to actually track down this Bruins game tonight?
It's, I mean, just a slap in the face, if you ask me. You could pay $250 for your cable every month and not get the Bruins on your TV tonight, which seems a bit much. But yeah, they have four games, I believe, that are exclusively on ESPN Plus or Hulu. So, you know, for a lot of people, it's not that inconvenient, but for people that don't have smart TVs, for people that don't need to, you know, add another subscription to their lives, it's just another fun twist of the new broadcast deal with the NHL. So for any complaints anyone had about the previous one, at least there was never an additional subscription required to watch. Of all things, too, you want to get offensive, it's a Buffalo Sabres game. I mean, you got to pay extra to watch a Buffalo Sabres game. That is a double slap in the face.
Michael Hurley, WBZ, CBS Boston, with us. Michael, we appreciate it as always. Whatever you're watching, hope you have a great weekend, and we'll check in with you again soon.
Sounds good. Maybe we'll have a World Series talk. You never know.
Oh, that'd be great. Thanks, Mike.
All right, see ya.
Michael Hurley with us on Downtown to get the ball rolling on a Friday afternoon.